we're drawing near. I'm not sure if we're going to finish today. We've got a little less time, but we're drawing near to the end of our series of Why Church? Growing a Healthy Church. And the title for today's message is actually The Power of God's Word. The Power of God's Word. And one of the things, guys, I want to ask is, if I was to give you news that was so powerful, it changes everything. If I was to tell you something that had never been known before and is coming to light now, I want you guys to put yourselves back in time a little bit here and understand that as John, who wrote the book of John, is writing, he's writing something that is a revelation that is unthinkable. It's unthinkable. And this is also a truth that John didn't get after spending 3 years with Jesus. It's a truth that is so deep that even though he spent 3 years in ministry with Jesus, he didn't understand the truth and what was being said here. And so as John starts out in the book of John, he wants to start out with a bang, and he does. And he doesn't want any, he doesn't want anyone to have any doubts of who he's talking about and what that means for us as a people. It says in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning was the Word. And I tell you, I want us to think about what he's saying here. The Word, in the beginning was the Word. What's that Word? When he's talking about the Word, what is it saying? And in a few verses later, in John 1:14, he makes it even more clear. He says, "And the Word of became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word," and guess what? That Word is Jesus Christ. Amen. He's been around always. In the beginning was the Word, and we'll get more into that in a little bit here, but John knew Jesus as a man. And he spent time with him. Jesus was fully God and what? Fully man. And while he was with Jesus, he understood the man part. But he didn't understand until Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, until the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him at Pentecost and led him into the truth. And until it was revealed to him by God who Jesus was, he didn't know. And so when John is saying this, he's saying something that changes mankind forever. Because history is the story of history. It's the story of God. And here he is, and he's sharing all of God's Word, guys. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about God. It's about what God has done. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And man was part of that creation, and we messed it up. We brought in sin. And God has had a plan since before time began of what was going to happen and how he was going to redeem man's sin. And it is Jesus Christ. And what he's saying here changes everything. And I guys, we know, we've been, especially for those of us who have been brought up in the church, Jesus is Lord, we know that. Imagine not knowing that ever, never hearing that before. And thinking of God as out there, and even prayers, you can't even have prayers that are too intimate with God because it might be blasphemous. It might be disrespectful to God. And so there's a bit of a distance in how you worship and how you relate to God. And all of a sudden, here comes John, and he's saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is God. And that, guys, that is shocking. This man that was here for 33 years is not just a man. He was fully man, but fully God. And if that is true, what does that mean for us? What does it mean? And here's another question I have. In the beginning was the what? Why did he use the word word? Have you ever wondered about that? In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was love. Wouldn't that fit? In the beginning was truth. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word. John saw that the words of Jesus, as he spent time with Jesus, Jesus' words are the truth of God. But not only his words, his person, who Jesus is, and what he did is God's truth. And so how do you wrap up all that needs to be said about who Jesus is, and the word that he chooses is word. Who Jesus is and what he's done is completely and fully revealed in Jesus Christ. Because doesn't Jesus say in 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life? He's the truth. He's not a truth. He's the truth. And as we look at the truth of what Jesus said, what he did, and who he is, it's the spoken, complete word of God of who God is. You want to know who God is? Do you want to get to know God more? Do you?
Yes.
It's not a rhetorical question. Do you want to get to know God more? Yeah? I know a way that you can know so much more about God than what you know now. Spend the rest of your life in his word, feeding and chewing and enjoying and learning and growing. And you'll read scripture over and over again. And you'll read it one time, and then 3 years later, you'll read it again. Same scripture. And it'll speak something new into you about who Christ is and what he's done. And his power and his authority. And then not only what comes with that truth, not only things about that truth, but what comes with that truth, which is who I am in him. Because when we understand God's identity, we have a whole new understanding of our new identity in Christ Jesus. And we get to take off the old man and set it down and put on the new. And it's Christ that we're putting on. And we're putting him on through his word. Just in case you have, that's kind of true, Pastor, but the word of God, that Jesus is the word, how do I feel good about defining that? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word was God. Revelations 19, 35, 13 through 15 says this. He is clothed. And remember, this is John again, isn't it? Right? And here he's talking about what's to come. And he says in verse 13 through 15 of chapter 19, he is clothed in a robe, dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And then it goes on and it says, and the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes what? A sharp sword which will strike down the nations. What's the sharp sword? The word of God, right? It's the word. So just a second here. He is the word of God, and he's ruling by the power of the word of God. It's powerful. He is the Word of God, and he's ruling by the power of the Word of God. The Son of God is the final and complete Word of God. We don't need to add anything more. It's finished. In a few hundred years, we're not going to get another revelation which further defines. No, Jesus is the Word of God. So what is significant about that? Let's break it down a little bit. In the beginning was the Word. Does those words in the beginning sound familiar? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you think it's a mistake that John, at the beginning of the gospel, he says what? In the beginning. He's doing that for a very, very specific reason. Before anything had been made, Jesus is. See, something that's very, very important for us to understand is that to understand the right time of Jesus' existence. Jesus didn't, it's not that the God, when he came and Emmanuel, God with us, it's not that all of a sudden Jesus was at that point. That God said, hey, I'm going to make a child and he's going to be a lot like me. And boom, there's Jesus and wow, he looks a lot like me. I'll call him my son. Jesus wasn't created. And guys, Jesus wasn't created. This is so significant. Jesus has no beginning. Jesus is outside of time. He's the creator of time. Before anything has been made, Jesus is. Just in case there's some thoughts on that, Jude 1:25 says, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Amen. Before all time. Not just sometime, all time. Before it, he is, he was. Jesus is outside of time. He's the creator of time. Another important thing to notice is Jesus' identity. In the beginning, this is the dealing with its time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then it says, and the Word was God. Why is this so significant? There's a lot of different religions which are very comfortable with Jesus and teach that Jesus was created. Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witness. What did they believe? They believed that Jesus was a created angel. That he had a beginning. Same with Muslims, that Jesus was created. Religions believe that God has a beginning. True faith is in Jesus Christ, who always was. It's so significant that we get this so that we don't have false teaching come into the church. Because as soon as we start trying to say, oh, Jesus is Lord and he was created by the God. No, he was not created. He always was. He always was. And just to bring some clarity here, John goes on in verse 3 of chapter 1. He says, through him all things were made. So what was made through him?
All things.
Now maybe you could say, well, what the writer really meant there was that all things were made through his creation. Or, you know, you can find a way to maybe try and spin it. And so John makes it even more clear and doesn't stop there. Through him all things were made without him. Without who? Him. Nothing was made that has been made. He's the creator. But you bring these scriptures up when a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door. Bring these scriptures up. Praise God. Because the pot, what's that? Well, the power of the gospel is truth. And man tries to come up with one truth or another, some way, if I can just figure out some way to define this without having to not lift up myself. And that's what man does through evolution, through trying to say that God's not a part of creation. Darwinian evolution, that God's not a part of creation. God is the author of creation. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Christ was not made. Everything made, Jesus made it. Everything. Everything that's been made, Jesus made it. And the third thing that sticks out is the second part, which it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Guys, if the Word was God, how can the Word be with God? What is it saying here? The Word was God? Okay, that's okay. Jesus is Lord. He's God. I understand that. And the Word was with. How can he be and be with? Guys, this is such a significant pointing to the Trinity. It's such a beautiful picture of he was with God and he was God. Genesis 1:26 says, hey, let us go down. Yes. Hey, you know what? God's speaking to himself. Why? One God, three persons. I can tell you about the Trinity, and next year, partway through the year, we're going to go over the Trinity in pretty significant detail. I can't tell you all about the Trinity. I can't define God. None of us can. Now, we can get a grasp on what God says about himself and about the Trinity. One God, three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But I can't fully define God. Can we go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It's the second to last slide, I believe it is. Are the slides working? Or? Oh, there it is. There it is. Okay. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is the scripture we started with, isn't it? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Guys, when we baptize, which is a command from God for us to obey, the baptizing in water represents what's taken place in the Spirit. And we do it to be obedient to God. And when we do it what? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is truth about who God is. And we need to just be willing to jump on that and receive it and take it in. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus always was the creator of time, outside of time. And because Jesus is that, he speaks with authority. And because he speaks with authority, he speaks with power. He speaks with supernatural power. If God, through his word, through his power, through the power of who he is, by his very identity, spoke in and creation comes, and it's the result of him speaking it to be. That same power is the same God who loves us and is involved in every aspect of our lives. Guys, we cannot talk about why church and what the church is without talking about Jesus, without talking about the Trinity, without talking about the power of God's Word. We have no church without Jesus Christ. We have no church without Jesus. He is the truth. He is love. He is power. He is authority. His rule speaks and stands. And he speaks into our lives. As where do you need to find transformation? Where is it right now, today, that you are struggling? Where is it that you've been struggling for years? Where is it? Is there addiction in your life? And I'm not just talking about drugs and alcohol. There's a lot of things that we can be addicted to. My will. Me. What I want at the moment. God is powerful and he transforms his people. And guys, we can know this power intimately by knowing God's word. So what does that mean? That means the main thing I want you guys to take away from today, outside of Jesus is Lord and the depth of what that means, is that we get to know the Lord through his word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you want to know God more, spend time here, not just on Sundays. Spend time in his word. Guys, we'll watch TV. Anybody watch the fight last night? We had 45 kids over at our house last night. Oh, my goodness. It was loud and wild and fun. And as soon as the fight was over, all the guys stood up. And I just kind of made myself very present because all the guys were like, oh, you know. We can spend time, all these different kinds of things. We can spend time in God's word. We can spend time in God's word. I was very disappointed Pacquiao did not win. I was fine. A godly man. Man who's come to Jesus. Guys, what is it that needs to change in your life? Not just what do you want to have, what has to change? It won't change unless Jesus Christ changes it. And he will reveal the truth of how that change will come in through the power and truth of God's word. You say, but those are old words that aren't specific. Oh, really? They are old words because they've been true for a long time. Since before time. Do you trust yourself more than you trust God? If you trust yourself more than lean on your own understanding, if you have the answers and God has to answer to you, then lean on your own understanding. And we all know how that's worked because we've all done it at times in our lives, right? We've all said, here's the truth. I know the truth. I choose to do what the truth says not to do. And we choose sin. So guys, what do we do when we're there? We need to repent, ask for forgiveness, go back to the truth of the word. This is how we find out what's right and wrong for our lives. Nothing else. Guys, there's self-help books that go on, and you go to the self-help aisle of the bookstore. It's a gigantic aisle. It usually takes up two aisles. All of man wants to know, how do I get this figured out? How do I make my life better? How do I become God? Is what it's saying. How do I become the answer to my life's problems? Rows and rows, that whole book after book after book. There's one book that has the answer. It's a bestseller of all time. I would highly suggest it. If you don't have one today, if you're going home and there's not a Bible in your home, come talk to me after the service. There needs to be a Bible in your home. If there's a Bible in your home, and if you went, and a big pile of smoke with you and dust, and clean it off, pray, and read. Spend some time. You know what one book I would suggest if you haven't spent much time in the Word of God? Is try this book. It starts off with a big wow. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It starts out strong and it keeps going from there. It's a great book to start in. Be in the Word. Be in the Word. John got to spend time with Jesus Christ. Guess what? I get to spend time with Jesus. You get to spend time with Him. And the advantage that we have is that it's not just when, for John, it was when Jesus was physically present. And then at Pentecost, he got to experience what we get to experience. He got to experience the presence of God. The person of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, God the Father. It's not just a book, guys. It's truth. It's God's truth about who He is. It's the same truth that will transform those issues in your life that you were thinking about a minute ago. That'll transform them. It won't change your circumstance. I want to say this one more time so you hear it clearly. It won't necessarily, God might move miraculously and change your circumstance. That'd be a miracle. You know why they call them miracles? They don't happen that often. God does miracles. And quite honestly, in the church, we need to expect more of miracles. But they're miracles for a reason. God doesn't usually change our circumstance, but He changes us from the inside out through the truth of the power of the Word of God and who He is and our identity in Him. And that's where our power comes from. God's power is now what? What I experience in the suffering, in the situation that I'm in. Now when it should absolutely destroy me, now I'm whole in Christ. Nothing's changed. But the Word, the power of the Word of God is in me changing my circumstance because of how I receive it. Because I receive it in truth and love. That's a miracle. Maybe God does do miracles every day. I know He blesses us every day. Guys, we can't talk about church without talking about the Word of God, without talking about Jesus Christ. Let's focus there. Guys, if we focus there, you know what's going to happen to the problems that we are experiencing? They will become strangely dim. You know what's going to happen to those relationships which are strained? The strain will become strangely dim. You know what's going to happen to the family members? I don't know. I'm still praying for them. But I know one thing. I know one thing. I'll trust God with my family members more than I trust me. I'll trust God with the people I love more than I'll trust myself. Let's close in prayer. Lord, as we close in prayer, we think of 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Father, we need your truth to correct us. We need your word to bring life and light. We need your word. Lord, I just pray that this time that we spend in the word together would not be what we have in full of our time in the word. I pray that each person here would take the word and open it each day of the week. Spend time looking at you. Father, some of us made a commitment to be fasting one day a week as we've gone through this series, either fasting from food or fasting from technology, where our work allows us. Lord, I just ask that as we have been preparing our hearts, Lord, you would speak clearly to us. Father, forgive us for relying on our own truth so often, for not going to your word and the truth of your word to deal with everyday situations. Forgive us for trusting ourselves more than we trust you. Maybe not in word, but in deed. But Lord, as we're going to look at in the next series, Father, we want to not just be hearers of the word, we want to be doers of the word. So Father, I just ask that you would speak to us today. Lord, thank you that in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. You are truth. You are life. You are God. We worship you and you alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have a great week.